WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
TV critic David Bianculli has been watching coverage of the terrorist attacks from the very start. Here's his report on what he saw, how he feels, and what might and should come next on TV.
Last night, near the end of a two-hour Discovery Channel instant documentary on modern terrorism, I finally saw something on TV that made me laugh out loud. There wasn't anything funny about the program, but during a break, there was a public service announcement from the Red Cross. The woman was advising viewers that one way to reduce the trauma of this horrible event was to avoid watching the worst images repeatedly. I had to laugh. How am I supposed to do that exactly? When the smoke began to rise from the World Trade Center that awful Tuesday morning, I did what my job as TV critic for the New York Daily News requires me to do. I loaded tapes into all 11 of my VCRs and started watching my wall of 11 TV sets. Minutes later, I watched a jet slam into the other tower live. Since then, I've been watching television or replaying recorded news footage as close to nonstop as I can get. When you see everything at once, you see it all the time. The planes crashing, the towers burning, the bodies falling. The networks backed off from showing the worst footage of destruction after the first 2 days, and seldom, if ever, showed the most ghastly footage their crews had shot. But I'll never forget it, just like I'll never forget a lot of other TV moments lately that have made me cry or afraid or proud. I'm one of the lucky ones. I wasn't there, and I didn't lose anyone I loved in the attacks. Even so, this coverage over the last 9 days has ripped me apart. I don't know quite how to get back to business as usual, or even if I should. The fall TV season, delayed by the tragedy, now is scheduled to start Monday. I have a hard time caring. But I'm getting inspiration in moving forward from the same source that's been devastating me. I'm getting it from television. I got inspiration from Mark Heath, the doctor who shot camcorder footage from Ground Zero that first day, and narrated his own words and actions as the ocean of ash and debris rolled towards him. "I hope I live," he said. And when he did, he immediately got up and looked for people to help. I got inspiration from Linda Ellerbe and Peter Jennings, who gathered kids and experts together last weekend to present separate programs aimed at children and their families. Ellerbe on Nickelodeon, Jennings on ABC. There was a little girl, no more than 5 years old, who was asked by Jennings how she felt about what had happened. Her dad, a sergeant in army fatigues, lifted her up in his lap, and this is what she said.
"I know that he's special, but I want him to be special here because he's always gone, and he's going to be gone even more since that they did this."
Then she cried. A lot. And so did I. But after watching that show, I felt a little better. Like millions of people, I got plenty of inspiration from Rudy Giuliani. And when David Letterman came back to TV Monday night, inspired, he said, by the mayor's urging that New Yorkers get back to work, it was one of the most amazing, undiluted, honest moments of television I've ever witnessed. I don't think Letterman will ever fully understand, much less accept, how valuable a service he performed on Monday. But for those who watched, it was huge. The reason Dan Rather broke down and cried later on that same show, which was reported widely the next day, was mostly because Letterman, coming out cold to talk to the TV audience directly at the start of the show, was so real.
"Welcome to the Late Show. This is our first show on the air since New York and Washington were attacked. And I need to ask your patience and indulgence here because I want to say a few things. And believe me, sadly, I'm not going to be saying anything new. And in the past week, others have said what I will be saying here tonight far more eloquently than I'm equipped to do. But if we are going to continue to do shows, I just need to hear myself talk for a couple of minutes. And so that's what I'm going to do here."
When Rather cries, you know it's serious. When Letterman doesn't joke, you know things have changed. These men are TV icons, and seeing their humanity didn't diminish them at all. It was part of their healing process, just like watching them has been part of ours. Historically, this is the longest wall-to-wall disaster coverage our country has ever seen on television. Pearl Harbor, to which this homeland attack is often compared, was a radio story. The JFK assassination was 3 solid days, but not nights, and the funeral gave things some sense of closure. Every other crisis, from the Challenger disaster to the Gulf War, came and went in smaller spurts of all-out news coverage. So what's next? In TV news, 2 things. 1, anchors ought to go on shorter shifts after the second day of such marathon coverage. There's enough talent to go around, and while reporters in the field can't really be spelled because of exhaustion, anchors can. And when reporters are tired, anchors often are the best safeguard from things getting out of hand or off track. The other thing, which ought to be obvious, is that network newscasts should beef up their international bureaus and reporting immediately. The best TV coverage I've seen from a global perspective has been on BBC America's BBC World News. And they make our own national newscasts look like grade school primers. This has to change. And what about getting back to TV as entertainment? It's a slow process, but it's begun already. Tomorrow night, all the networks have banded together to present a 2-hour benefits special that is absolutely unprecedented. Performers are scheduled to include Bruce Springsteen, Tom Hanks, and Paul Simon, but it's the event, more than any one artist, that should not be missed. And the season will start, though it won't be seen the same way. My favorite show of the new season used to be a Fox drama series called 24. It still is my favorite new series, and it doesn't show up until the end of October, but I wonder how they're going to handle the series pilot, which includes an international killer parachuting out of a passenger jetliner just before exploding it. And this Sunday, an intelligent new CBS series called The Education of Max Bickford stars Richard Dreyfuss as a college professor who's a little tired of the laid-back attitude of his young students. At one point, he gets so irritated during a lecture that he confronts them with a question.
Let me ask you this. In the history of this country, there have been generations after generations of people who are willing to die for something. Is there anything that you would be willing to die for?
The bell rings, and the students instantly scurry out of the lecture hall without answering that question. That proved the professor's point, and when I first saw this pilot 2 months ago, it rang perfectly true. Now I think those students would answer the question, and the answer would be different. Everything's different. But no matter what happens next, I can guarantee this, and only this. Television will be a huge, huge part of it. Emotionally, right now, TV is our country's ground zero.
David Bianculli is TV critic for the New York Daily News.